Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading the San Angelo Standard Times. These articles are for the week of Sunday, August 22nd. I'm narrating these on Thursday, August 26th, and I'll begin with the most recent articles first. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for August. As of August 25th, City of San Angelo and Tom Green County, 20,868 positive cases reported, 174 new positive tests, deaths 348, 224 from Tom Green County and 124 from other counties, 81 currently hospitalized, 1,769 active cases. Tom Green County COVID-19 Vaccine Tracker by Chastity Lasky. Tom Green County has administered more than 90,701 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of August 24th, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up 2.64% from the previous week's tally of 88,365 COVID-19 doses administered. In Tom Green County, 36% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of August 24th. Local Health Authority Issues Mask Mandate for All Schools in Tom Green County by John Tufts, published August 25th. Local Health Authority Dr. James Bretas issued a property control order Tuesday night, mandating the wearing of masks on any school facility in Tom Green County where a positive COVID-19 student or staff case has been confirmed. The order will go into effect Thursday, August 26th, and continue through the end of the school day on Friday, October 15th, 2021, or until the Texas Education Agency, TEA, or a court of competent jurisdiction reinstitutes enforcement against school districts with mask mandates, a news release stated. Vretas issued the orders Tuesday, August 24th, due to the continuous rise in COVID cases and its strain on the local hospital system, according to a news release from the City of San Angelo. There were 160 new positive cases of the coronavirus Tuesday, August 24th, according to a news release. Health officials also reported 80 people were hospitalized at Shannon Medical Center with up to 1,624 cases of the virus in the community, said a news release. Any questions about whether a school facility has a positive case and is requiring masks should be directed to that school facility or the school district that oversees the facility, the news release stated. Texas is not enforcing Governor Greg Abbott's executive orders banning mask requirements in public schools because of ongoing legal battles in state and federal courts, the Texas Education Agency said in an updated health guidance last week. Please note, mask provisions of GA 38 are not being enforced as the result of ongoing litigation, TEA said in its guidance to school districts updated August 19th. Further guidance will be made available after court issues are resolved. I did this within the letter and the spirit of the governor's order, Bretas said during the interview Tuesday evening with the Standard Times. Bretas said rather than issuing a mask mandate for everyone, only schools with positive cases would be affected by the order. He said the order was necessary after the Delta variant caused a surge of cases in San Angelo. We're talking about the lives of children, faculty, and staff, Bretas said. We have COVID running rampant in the community. Both emergency departments are full. Our hospitals are full. It's very important for children to wear masks. Shannon Hospital seeing more children with COVID-19. In a recent video released on social media, Shannon Medical Center pediatrician Shrinketh Potarella said more children were being admitted lately to Shannon Medical Center, less than a week after in-person classes began for more than 14,500 students at San Angelo ISD. During the first 2 days of school, beginning Thursday, August 19th, and then into Sunday, August 22nd, the school district reported 19 students and 9 staff members who tested positive for the virus. Here's what schools have had positive COVID-19 cases so far in Tom Green County. Schools across the San Angelo area began the 2021-22 school year in August. After the first day, some schools started reporting COVID-19 cases. San Angelo ISD. Classes started August 18th. The district is reporting weekly. Week 1, August 19th through the 22nd. Bowie Elementary, 3 students, 1 staff member. Bradford Elementary, 1 student. Central High School, 7 students, 3 staff members. Central High School on Oaks, 2 students. Glenmore Elementary, 1 student. Holloman Elementary, 1 staff member. Lakeview High School, 3 students. Lamar Elementary, 1 staff member. Lone Star Middle School, 1 student. Reagan Elementary, 1 staff member. Sam Houston Elementary, 1 staff member. San Jacinto Elementary, 1 staff member. Santa Rita Elementary, 1 student. While the mask mandate will go into effect Thursday for many schools in Tom Green County, the order will not apply to Angelo State University nor Howard College. The Standard Times reached out to Bredis for more information Wednesday, August 25th, about the order and learned that it does not apply to institutions of higher learning in Tom Green County. My order does not apply to colleges or universities, Bredis said in a message to the Standard Times. I am not creating a mask order for colleges or universities at this time. Grape Creek ISD to defy local mask mandate. Here's what other San Angelo schools are doing. By John Tufts, published August 26th. A small school district in Tom Green County plans to defy a public health order requiring its students and staff to wear masks as early as Thursday after cases of COVID-19 surged in the area. Grape Creek Independent School District, 1,186 student enrollment as of 2019, announced Wednesday, August 25th, it would continue following an executive order issued by Texas Governor Greg Abbott banning mask mandates in public schools. In its latest pandemic protocols issued August 25th, Grape Creek ISD said it strongly encourages the use of face coverings, but it is not mandating facial coverings at this time. The district's decision came one day after local health authority Dr. James Bredis issued a property control order mandating the wearing of masks on any school facility in Tom Green County where a positive COVID-19 student or staff case had been confirmed. The order goes into effect Thursday, August 26th, and continues through the end of the school day, Friday, October 15th, 2021, or until the Texas Education Agency or a court of competent jurisdiction reinstitutes enforcement against school districts with mask mandates. Tom Green County non-compliant, says Texas Attorney General's office. Vredis's decision to mandate the wearing of masks appears to have caught the attention of Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who listed Tom Green County as being non-compliant with Abbott's orders. Executive Order GA-38 prohibits governmental entities and officials from mandating face coverings or vaccines. This order has the force and effect of state law and supersedes local rules and regulations, a statement read on the Texas Attorney General's official website. Paxton's office listed 83 government entities reported as non-compliant as of 2:11 p.m. Wednesday. Among them were Tom Green County and San Angelo ISD. In a letter addressed Wednesday to students, parents, and community members, Grape Creek Superintendent Angie Smentana said district officials reached out to multiple legal experts, school district attorneys, local government leaders, as well as leaders and elected officials at the state level before making a decision not to require the wearing of masks. It wasn't immediately clear from Smentana's letter if district officials had spoken with the TEA, which weighed in on the matter last week. Texas not enforcing Governor Abbott's mask orders. Texas is not enforcing Governor Greg Abbott's executive orders banning mask requirements in public schools because of ongoing legal battles in state and federal courts, the Texas Education Agency said in its most recent health guidance, dated August 19th. Please note mask provisions of GA 38 are not being enforced as the result of ongoing litigation, TEA said in its guidance to school districts. Further guidance will be made available after the court issues are resolved. TEA recommends that public school systems consult with their local public health authorities and local legal counsel before making final decisions regarding the implementation on this guidance. Smetana said the district will conduct a survey in the near future with parents, staff, and the Grape Creek community concerning issues related to the pandemic. The information we gather will be used if we should gain the ability to make local policy and local decisions concerning COVID protocols and procedures, Smetana wrote, twice emphasizing the word local. Other safety protocols to prevent the spread of COVID-19 at Grape Creek ISD include air filters, social distancing, hand sanitizing stations, and desk shields, according to the district's pandemic protocols. Regardless of how you feel about the use of masks within our Texas school districts, the one commonality among each and every one of us at Grape Creek ISD is the safety and welfare of our students, staff, and community, Smetana wrote. Vretis very disappointed with Grape Creek ISD. News of Grape Creek ISD's decision not to enforce the wearing of masks in the event of a positive COVID-19 case reached Vretis, who appeared frustrated with the school district's decision. I am very disappointed that they have decided not to follow TEA guidelines, Vretis said in a message to the Standard Times. Hopefully this will not bite them on their backsides with so many COVID cases that they just have to shut down in-person classes. That would not be in the best interest of their students or our community, Vretis said. During an earlier interview Tuesday evening with the Standard Times, Vretis explained his rationale for issuing a mask mandate. I did this within the letter and the spirit of the governor's order, Vretis said, stating rather than issuing a mask mandate for everyone, only schools with positive cases would be affected by the order. Vretis said the order was necessary after the Delta variant caused a surge of cases in Tom Green County. There were 174 new positive cases of COVID-19 reported Wednesday, August 25th, according to a news release issued by the city of San Angelo. Health officials also reported 81 people were hospitalized at Shannon Medical Center, and there were up to 1,769 cases of the virus in the community, the news release stated. We're talking about the lives of children, faculty, and staff, Vretis said. We have COVID running rampant in the community. Both emergency departments are full. Our hospitals are full. It's very important for children to wear masks. Of the 174 recent new positive cases reported by health officials, 30 were Tom Green County children aged 16 and below. What other schools in San Angelo have said about the mask mandate? Other schools and school districts in the Tom Green County area issued statements Wednesday regarding Vretis's local health order. Most responses stressed the need to protect students while allowing parents to make decisions as they try to exist in the legal limbo mask orders have created around the state. Texas Leadership Charter Academy. Ron Ledbetter, Texas Leadership Superintendent, issued a response on social media about the local health orders going into effect. While acknowledging TLCA had positive cases of COVID-19 on its San Angelo campus, Ledbetter said the school's ability to enforce the mask mandate was very limited. Texas leadership is working diligently, as we have since the pandemic began, to mitigate at our greatest level. We continue to clean, encourage personal hygiene, and make available whatever resources we have to our staff and students, Ledbetter said. We do not intend to interfere with either order, but our ability to enforce a mask mandate is very limited, and we desire for families to decide what is best for their children, Ledbetter said. Wall ISD. In text messages sent to Wall ISD, parents that were later shared with the Standard Times, officials at Wall ISD said discussions were taking place with its legal team to determine its rights and obligations under the health order. A text that was time-stamped at 7:41 a.m. Wednesday from the district stated the following. From Wall ISD. Wall ISD believes wholeheartedly in the right of parents to make decisions for their own children regarding face coverings. However, we are also aware of the new mask mandate issued by Tom Green County Health Authority Dr. Vretis, the message stated. Wall ISD is currently in discussions with our legal team to determine our rights and obligations under this order. More information will be provided once we have determined a plan of action, the message stated. A text message from Wall ISD sent later that same day stated the following. While we want to comply with our requirement to notify you of this order and do not intend to interfere with this order, you should also be aware that our enforcement mechanisms with regard to requiring masks are limited in accordance with conflicting directives from the Texas Education Agency and Governor Greg Abbott. Water Valley ISD. District leaders at Water Valley ISD have been in close communication with the local health authority since March 2020, said Superintendent Fabian Gomez in a letter posted August 25th to social media. Gomez said the positivity rate at Water Valley ISD was approximately 0.0049% and, after consulting with Bredis and other public officials, decided to continue its current COVID-19 protocols. The district asks for continued flexibility and cooperation from its students, parents, faculty, staff, and community as it worked to maintain health within its schools, Gomez said in a letter. San Angelo ISD. During the first 2 days of school, beginning Thursday, August 19th, and then into Sunday, August 22nd, San Angelo ISD reported 19 students and 9 staff members who tested positive for the virus. The Standard Times reached out to district officials both Tuesday and Wednesday with questions on how Vredis's property control order could impact the district's more than 14,500 students and faculty members. District officials were asked what additional COVID-19 measures, if any, might be taken to limit the surge in positive cases, including what measures students and faculty could face if they refused to wear a mask in violation of the health order. Despite multiple phone calls and emails, district officials issued no response to the Standard Times by 5 p.m. Wednesday. On Wednesday afternoon, San Angelo ISD issued a news release on its official website, which reads, "In SAISD, we are fully committed to keeping the doors to our school buildings open every day for the 2021-22 school year to provide in-person learning opportunities for our students. We appreciate your support of the property control order mandate from local public health authority for the welfare of our students and our San Angelo community," the release stated. "We acknowledge each individual's decision on supporting the public health mandate in the way that is best for them and their child," the release stated. The mandate issued by the local public health authority applies to children and adults of all ages within educational facilities of Tom Green County where instruction is being delivered, the release stated. Then encourage the public to visit a link on the district's official website regarding its COVID-19 safety protocols. What penalties could San Angelo area schools face in ignoring the health order? It wasn't immediately clear what repercussions schools in Tom Green County could face should they choose to ignore Vredis's public health order. A message from City Attorney Teresa James suggested schools in Tom Green County would be afforded a significant amount of wiggle room. "The order was written in such a way to allow districts to have flexibility in how it is handled, and Dr. Vredis is always open to discussions on options to address the spread of COVID-19 in our community," James said in a message to the Standard Times. When asked if any legal challenges had been filed Wednesday opposing the mask mandate, James responded, "None at this time." Off script. Here's what 8 Shannon doctors want San Angelo to know about COVID-19, by John Tufts, published August 25th. When asked to give his candid opinion, endocrinologist Chadi Richich called COVID-19 in San Angelo a dire situation with a simple solution. Richich and 7 other physicians at Shannon Medical Center were recently featured in a video posted to social media Monday, August 23rd, on how COVID-19 is affecting San Angelo. They discussed what residents can do to stay safe as positive cases continue to surge in the community. A spokesperson for Shannon Medical Center said the interviews were filmed last week in the course of an afternoon and that each interview was not scripted. We simply asked each physician to share what they would like the community to know at this moment about COVID-19, said Lindy Stone, Shannon's director of marketing. Dr. Michael Wood, director of Shannon's COVID-19 unit, said the recent spike in positive cases has left hospital staff feeling tired and said it was the worst part of the pandemic since cases began last year. There were 160 new positive cases of the coronavirus Tuesday, August 24th, according to a news release issued by the city of San Angelo. Health officials also reported 80 people were hospitalized at Shannon Medical Center, and there were up to 1,624 cases of the virus in the community, the news release stated. One of the most common problems that I see with this current pandemic is people thinking that it won't affect them, that it's not going to hit home for them and their family, said Jessica Arona, an advanced practice registered nurse in pulmonology. This is affecting people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, people that are my age and younger, that I'm having to watch their family fall apart as they're dying, Arona said. Several physicians in the video advised San Angelo residents to wear masks and to get vaccinated, recommendations other local health experts, along with officials at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, have been urging for months. This situation is dire, and the solution is simple. It's vaccination. The vaccine does work. It's safe. It's been tested. It's been authorized, Wretched said in the video. Shannon Medical Center pediatrician Shrankath Potarella echoed his colleague's advice, saying, "My request for all parents and the public in general is to get vaccinated because it's tested. I mean, we know that it works. Apart from vaccines, masking also helps," Potarella said in the video. Potarella said more children were being admitted lately to Shannon Medical Center, less than a week after in-person classes began for more than 14,500 students at San Angelo ISD. During the first 2 days of school, beginning Thursday, August 19th, and then into Sunday, August 22nd, the school district reported 19 students and 9 staff members who tested positive for the virus. "You've got to believe in what I tell you. This is an awful disease," said Dr. Kenneth Parrott with Shannon Pulmonology Intensive Care. "People need to understand how bad it is and how bad it is in our community here." At the end of the roughly 3.5 minute long video, doctors recommended anyone with doubts or questions about COVID-19 vaccinations or the effectiveness of masks to contact Shannon Medical Center. Carolina Ojeda, MD, Internal Medicine. "Hello, as your doctors, we have an important message. We are here for you. We are not strangers. We are your friends, your neighbors. We are your doctors. COVID-19 has changed. It has become more aggressive, contagious, and deadly." Lorena Perez Povis, MD, Infectious Disease. "I've been doing infectious diseases for the past 15 years and never seen anything of such kind as this infectious disease called COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes it." Jessica Arona, APRN, ACNPHAG, Pulmonology. "One of the most common problems that I see with this current pandemic is people thinking that it won't affect them, that it's not going to hit home for them and their family. This is not what we're seeing before in the fall and the spring earlier this year. This is affecting people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, people that are my age and younger, that I'm having to watch their family fall apart as they're dying." Norma Cerna, MD, Family Medicine. "COVID-19, this is not natural, and these vulnerable people, our patients, should not be dying. In these cases, vulnerability has no age group." Shrankath Potarella, MD, Pediatrics. "We are seeing more kids getting admitted with COVID in this wave compared to the last wave." Kenneth Parrott, MD, Pulmonology Intensive Care. 80% of the people right now who are admitted to the hospital are unvaccinated. That's only 20% that some people who are vaccinated will get the disease. But most of what we're seeing now is unvaccinated patients. And people have their feelings. They don't want to get vaccinated for one reason or the other. But I'm telling you that you've got to believe in what I tell you, that this is an awful disease. It's not just a common cold. It's not just another virus. People are getting sick and they're dying. Sometimes we can't do a whole lot for them. We can support them. We can try to make things better. But this is bad, and people need to understand how bad it is and how bad it is in our community here. Michael Wood, MD, Director of COVID Unit, Hospital Medicine. We're tired. This is the worst part of the pandemic that we've seen. Although the numbers are lower than they were in January, we have significantly less support from the state, which limits our ability to care for both those with COVID and patients without COVID. Chadi Reche, MD, Endocrinology. This situation is dire, and the solution is simple. It's vaccination. The vaccine does work. It's safe. It's been tested. It's been authorized after more than 40,000 patients on each vaccine tested. There are three options for the vaccines, and these vaccines, even if they're not going to protect 100%, they're going to alleviate the symptoms. The difference between a vaccinated and unvaccinated is brushing the COVID as a common cold versus ending up in ICU, intubated, and dead. Shrikant Potarala, MD, Pediatrics. My request for all parents and the public in general is to get vaccinated because it's tested. I mean, we know that it works. Apart from vaccine, masking also works. Norma Cerna, MD, Family Medicine. During the previous surge, we all did what we had to do. We didn't have vaccines available, but we were able to mitigate the transmission by using masks. There is evidence that masks stop transmission of viruses, and not just by the wearer, but also by the person who is in front of you and is wearing, and the other persons around you that are wearing the mask. That's the way it works. That's the way it helps. Kenneth Parrott, MD, Pulmonology Intensive Care. You need to think twice before you say, I don't want to have something done. I don't believe in the vaccines. I don't want to do this. We're trying to take care of you. We need you to take care of you also. Carolina Ojeda, MD, Internal Medicine. Our priority is your health. We are here for you. Please, if you have any doubts or questions, do not hesitate to give us a call. For more information, visit shannonhealth.com/COVID-19 or call 325-653-6741. San Angelo teen charged after two juvenile supervision officers injured at Justice Center, by Elena Edgen, published August 25th. A San Angelo teen has been indicted after two officers were injured while working, according to court documents released Wednesday. On June 16th, a Tom Green County deputy, sheriff's deputy, arrived at a reported assault at the Juvenile Justice Center. Two juvenile supervision centers said a teen assaulted them. Record state. Staff members said the teen was upset over something and would not follow commands. They put the teen in a cell as he continued to resist officers, according to court documents. One officer was hit in the stomach and had a scratch. Another officer was kicked in the pelvic region and hit in the head, record state. Court documents did not detail why the teen was upset. Joseph Michael Fitchett, 17, was arrested June 24th on suspicion of two counts of assault on a public servant. Indictments filed in August charged him with the two counts, both third-degree felonies, punishable by up to 10 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Fitchett remained in Tom Green County Detention Center, and a court date has not been scheduled as of noon Wednesday, according to online court records. Ballet San Angelo, looking for artists for opportunity in 2021 Nutcracker production. By Rosanna Frere, published August 25th. Ballet San Angelo is looking for artists for a collaboration opportunity in its 2021 Nutcracker production. Ballet San Angelo will be pairing its Nutcracker Orchestra musicians with visual artists to create a unique art show and sale to run in conjunction with its newest production of the Nutcracker, according to a Facebook post. How it will work. The musician will play a favorite phrase from the Nutcracker musical score, maximum 90 seconds. Submit it in the form of a voice memo, along with their biography and headshot with their instrument. The ballet will then send the visual artists the information, and they will create a work inspired by the content in any medium on a 24-inch by 30-inch by 1.5-inch canvas that will be provided to them. The artist will submit the work no later than December 1st. Contact Development Director Susan Kenny for more information and to secure your spot at susan@balletsanangelo.org. What will the show be like? The works will be displayed in the elegant renovated mezzanine of the Murphy Performance Hall at the City Auditorium for school touring groups, patrons, and audiences to view and purchase if interested, the post stated. The photos of both the musician and visual artists, bios, and sound bites will be shown together to create a unique interactive show. It will also be accessible on a virtual platform where the sale of the artwork will be handled. Sales will be split 50-50 between the visual artist creating the original work and Ballet San Angelo's dance educational and outreach programs, unless other arrangements have been made with BSA. Deadlines: September 15th, sound bites, musicians only. Bios and headshots are to be emailed. The first 30 visual artists to express interest will be included. September 18th, target date for pairing artists with orchestra members and delivering canvases, bios, pictures, and sound bites to all participants. December 1st, deadline for delivering finished artwork to BSA at 82 Gillis Street. December 17th through the 19th, the Nutcracker production dates. For more information, call Kenny at 325-653-8877 or 325-234-7237. Woman pleads guilty to 2018 Robert Lee murder, receives 14 years. By Rosanna Frere, published August 25th. On Monday, July 26th, 2021, Kendra Kimberly Bohannon took a plea deal in the shooting death of Douglas Vincent Harvey, 37, on October 4th, 2018. Bohannon, 40, pleaded guilty to murder, a first-degree felony, and was sentenced to 14 years in jail along with a $1,220 restitution fine by Judge Carmen Dusek. An autopsy performed October 5th, 2018, listed Harvey's death as homicide caused by a gunshot wound to the abdomen. Who shot you? Kim Bohannon. On October 4th, 2018, the Coke County Sheriff's Office was called to shoot to 1,000 block of Austin Street to a shooting victim. Chief Deputy Brandon Neal arrived and was approached by the caller, Norman Hunt. He said he saw Harvey lying by the roadway, stopped to check on him, and discovered he had been shot. Neal attempted to administer first aid and asked Harvey who shot him, which he replied, Kim Bohannon. While getting in the ambulance, Neal asked again who shot him, and again Harvey said Kim Bohannon with a shotgun. Harvey's statement was acknowledged by the ambulance crew. After being transported to San Angelo, Harvey was pronounced dead upon arrival. Hunt and the four EMS crew members provided sworn affidavits to investigators affirming the dying declaration of Harvey that he had been shot by Kim Bohannon. Nick Hanna, Texas Ranger with the Department of Public Safety at the time, searched the house and found blood evidence consistent with a gunshot wound and a 20-gauge shotgun, according to court documents. After the search of the crime scene, law enforcement located Kimbo Hannon at a house near the shooting with Jennifer Beatty and Jacob Wayne Bacon. Bacon told Hanna that shortly after the shooting, he and Beatty drove by the shooting while emergency vehicles were still present. As they passed the scene, Beatty told him, "We did it," referring to her and Bohannon, records state. Later that day, Harvey's sister, Kimberly Harvey, told investigators she was approached the prior evening by Bohannon. During the encounter, she said Bohannon was angry and looking for her brother, Douglas Harvey, in regards to some missing property, according to the documents. San Angelo man, 18, charged in online child solicitation of 12-year-old. By Elena Edgen, published August 25th. A San Angelo man has been indicted after a woman reported online solicitation of a child in April, according to court documents released Wednesday. On April 6, 2021, police learned a woman reported a man attempted to solicit a 12-year-old child through a commercial online service, records state. The man told police he did communicate with the child, met the child at the child's residence, and attempted to solicit her for sex, records state. Arturo X. Aguilera III, 18, was arrested May 6th on suspicion of online solicitation of a minor sexual assault. He was indicted on the same charge, which is a second-degree felony, punishable by up to 20 years and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Aguilera remained in Tom Green County Detention Center, and a court date has not been scheduled as of 11 a.m. Wednesday, August 25th, according to online jail records. Police say former San Angelo Bank employee used customer information to get over $25,000. By Elena Edgen, published August 25th. A San Angelo woman has been arrested Wednesday after bank customers had more than $25,000 charged by credit and debit cards they didn't open, according to an arrest affidavit. On July 27th, 2021, the First Convenience Bank, First National Bank vice president, and bank-wide investigator met with San Angelo police. The investigator told police a former employee at the bank in Walmart, 5501 Sherwood Way, was under investigation, records state. The employee was investigated for using customers' personal bank accounts to open and activate credit cards and to make purchases totaling $25,629.57. With this, the employee made deposits into her personal account totaling $2,433.73 without putting money into the register, according to the affidavit. Documents and videos showed these transactions happened while the employee was at work and at a Walmart gas station between February 23, 2021 and July 17, 2021, records state. When the bank investigator confronted the employee made a written statement confessing to the theft and was fired, according to the affidavit. On August 4th, the former employee told police she used four customer accounts to create and activate debit and credit cards to pay for her car and other bills that were due, records state. Carmen Garcia Ruiz, 22, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of theft of property between $2,500 and $30,000. She remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $15,000 bond as of 8:30 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. Massachusetts man charged in pointing empty gun at Grape Creek woman's head, pulling trigger. By Elena Edgen, published August 23rd. A 46-year-old Massachusetts man was arrested Saturday after authorities said he pointed an empty gun at a Grape Creek woman and pulled the trigger, according to an arrest affidavit released Monday. On Saturday, August 21st, a woman in the 11,000 block of Sterling Lane in Grape Creek left her residence to speak with a lawn maintenance employee. While speaking with the employee, Her relative exited a home nearby, records state. The man pulled out a black pistol, pointed it at her head, and pulled the trigger, which caused a dry fire, according to the affidavit. Dry firing simulates the discharge of a firearm. It involves pulling the trigger of a firearm that has no ammunition in it. The woman immediately left the area to find shelter and told Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies she believed the man would kill her given the chance, records state. Charles Lafayette Marquise was arrested Sunday on suspicion of aggravated assault on a family member. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $75,000 bond as of 12:30 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Police state officer bitten after San Angelo man threatens woman with fork during food argument, by Elena Edgen, published August 23rd. An argument over food led to one arrest after a San Angelo police officer was bitten, according to court documents released Monday. On August 15th, police arrived to a domestic disturbance call at 2933 Travis Street. A woman told officers she and a man argued about who ate some food, according to an arrest affidavit. The man then held a fork to her chest and said, "You're going to admit it, or I'm going to stab you," according to the woman's testimony to police. Her boyfriend saw the man holding the fork at her, and the man backed away. The couple then locked themselves in a room and called police, records state. Officers proceeded to arrest the man, who then resisted by running from police and biting an officer's arm, according to a police report. Jeremy Lee Thompson, 30, was arrested August 15th on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, assault of a peace officer, resisting arrest, and escape from custody. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $71,500 bond as of 11:30 a.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Desperate for miracles, a pregnant Texas mother fights to save husband dying of COVID-19. By John Tufts, published August 22nd. 5-year-old Brooke Wallace in San Angelo knows her daddy is very sick. On a sweltering afternoon, she sat under the shade of an oak tree beside her two younger sisters, Aubrey and Kate, swinging on a backyard playset until it was time to call their father. At about 5:15 p.m. that Thursday, August 19th, Jessica Wallace gathered all three children together and the four took a short walk to a relative's house next door. She strolled hand in hand with Kate, who is 1 year old, while Aubrey, age 3, toddled ahead of her mother to keep pace with Brooke. "Aubrey does ask a lot, 'Where's Daddy? Where's Daddy?'" Jessica said. "My 5-year-old Brooke, she understands." The children sat at the dinner table snacking on cups of chocolate ice cream while Jessica called Shannon Medical Center. 8 months pregnant, she rested one hand on the curve of her belly, waiting to speak with the nurse stationed at the hospital's COVID-19 unit. "It's become a daily ritual over the past 3 weeks. Jessica asks the nurse if a video call can be arranged with her husband, Caleb Wallace, who has been hospitalized with coronavirus since the beginning of August. The nurse tells Jessica it's not a problem and hangs up to don a plastic suit of PPE, personal protective equipment, required to enter Caleb's room. After 5 minutes later, Jessica answers her phone and the video call begins. "Keep fighting, Daddy," Caleb's children said Thursday into the video screen. "We miss you." The conversation is one-sided. Caleb says nothing. Since August 8th, the 30-year-old father of 3, soon to be 4, has laid unconscious, heavily sedated in an intensive care unit at Shannon Hospital. A mechanical ventilator pumps fresh oxygen into his lungs, which have been crippled by the virus. This doesn't stop Caleb's daughters from talking for roughly 10 minutes Thursday. They tell Caleb how their day went, how much they love and miss him, and how much they badly want him home. As she watched from one end of the table, Jessica remained cheerful and upbeat for her children, admonishing Caleb not to give the nurses at Shannon too hard a time while he remains in the hospital. Her mood changes after Brooke and Aubrey have said all they wanted to say and return to eating ice cream. When it's her time, Jessica reached for the phone to keep a private conversation with her unconscious husband. "You need to keep hanging on," she said, choking through tears, looking at Caleb's motionless face on the screen. "You need to come home so you can meet your little girl." "Baby Emsley Jean Wallace is a wiggle worm," her mother says, "and is due to be born in about 6 weeks." Jessica eventually hangs up the phone after speaking to Caleb for several minutes. Another call will be made tomorrow. Brooke won't let her forget. When it's getting late and we haven't called yet, Brooke immediately starts asking, "When are we calling Daddy? When are we calling Daddy? I need to talk to the doctors," Brooke said. "She needs to talk to the doctors because she wants to tell them to take care of her daddy," Jessica said. "She wants to tell her daddy to keep fighting. She tells him every day that she misses him," Jessica said. By Saturday, August 21st, Caleb will have spent more than 12 days on a ventilator. His chances of recovery are slim to none without advanced medical care, Jessica says. As she continues to pray for Caleb's full recovery, out of earshot from her children, Jessica is unsure if her husband is ever coming home. Texas COVID hospitalizations remain dangerously high. Conversations like this one in the Wallace household are happening more frequently in Texas. The state is suffering from its worst stage of COVID-19 cases since last year. There were 11,762 cases of the virus reported within a 24-hour window Friday, according to state health data released August 20th, a number far surpassing the roughly 3,300 cases reported across Texas on July 20th, exactly 1 month ago. Health officials reported 12,841 Texans were hospitalized Friday with COVID-19, pushing some healthcare systems to their breaking point, as 330 staffed ICU beds were left in a state of about 30 million people. This Delta variant is different in several ways. "It's very contagious, probably twice as contagious as the original virus," said Dr. Doug Schultz, chief medical officer at Shannon Clinic, during a recorded interview posted last week to Facebook. "As the Delta variant of COVID-19 burns through Texas like viral wildfire, adding fuel to the flames is the state's relatively low vaccination rate. Less than 56% of all Texans above the age of 12 have been fully vaccinated. In the Concho Valley, about 8 out of 10 people who are positive are not vaccinated," Schultz said, noting that while some patients who test positive are fully vaccinated, they usually do not require hospitalization. Health officials pushing for masks and social distancing to limit the spread of COVID-19 have met resistance from Texas lawmakers like Governor Greg Abbott, who recently tested positive for the virus himself, though he is fully vaccinated. Abbott is currently embroiled in several legal challenges, from his ban on mask mandates as more than 5 million Texas students return to public school. Advocates for public health and personal freedom spar over COVID. The battle between public health and personal freedom is a familiar one in Tom Green County, of which San Angelo resident Caleb Wallace took an active role. On July 4th, 2020, Caleb helped organize the Freedom Rally. A flyer for the event called it a peaceful protest by people sick of the government being in control of our lives. Signs carried by protesters that day criticized the wearing of masks, business closures, the science behind COVID-19, and liberal media. Upset the United States flag wasn't waving at the Tom Green County Courthouse on July 4th, rally attendees raised their own. The person who tied the U.S. flag to the pole was Caleb Wallace. "We are not real happy with the current state of America at the moment," a then-healthy Wallace said in July. In addition to the rally, Caleb organized the San Angelo Freedom Defenders, a group to educate and empower citizens to make informed choices concerning local, statewide, and national policy, and to encourage them to actively participate in their duty to secure God-given and constitutionally protected rights, as stated on the group's Facebook page. Using both the Freedom Defenders page and his own social media presence, Caleb criticized the government's handling of the pandemic and guidelines advocated by health experts. "Show me the science that masks work," Caleb wrote on the City of San Angelo's official Facebook in December 2020. Show me the evidence that school closures work. Show me the evidence that lockdowns work. In 2020, Caleb appeared in video interviews with local media outlets denouncing mask policies and school closures at San Angelo ISD. As late as April 2021, he penned a letter demanding the school district rescind all its COVID-19 protocols, claiming that science didn't support their need. At one point during the pandemic, the Freedom Defenders collected a list of local businesses in the San Angelo area who were asking residents to wear masks as a prerequisite for entry, information its members could use to avoid shopping at those locations. The page belonging to the Freedom Defenders appeared to be deactivated from Facebook shortly after Caleb was hospitalized for COVID-19. He didn't want to be a COVID statistic. On July 26th, Jessica said her husband began experiencing symptoms of the coronavirus, shortness of breath, high fever, and a dry cough. Those symptoms became worse the following day. Every time he would start to cough, it would turn into a coughing attack, and then that would cause him to completely go out of breath, Jessica said. At first, Caleb refused to get tested for COVID-19 or go to the hospital. He was so hard-headed, Jessica said. He didn't want to see a doctor because he didn't want to be part of the statistics with COVID tests. Caleb instead began taking tablets of ivermectin, high doses of vitamin C, zinc, aspirin, and an inhaler. By July 30th, however, Caleb was taken by a relative to the emergency room at Shannon Medical Center. Later that same day, the city of San Angelo reported 111 new positive cases of COVID-19 in the community, along with 34 people hospitalized for the virus. Caleb was one of them. He couldn't breathe on his own, Jessica said. The first week, he was able to be on oxygen. By the morning of August 8th, he had to be ventilated. Jessica described Caleb's hospitalization for COVID-19 as a humbling, eye-opening experience for the Wallace family, who, she said, used to casually bicker about anything and everything. "We've grown so much closer now as a family," Jessica said. "We check on each other every day to see if we're okay or if we need help with anything. This is something we take seriously. It's made us realize that COVID-19 does not discriminate." Jessica said the virus has completely changed her life. In contrast to her husband, she wears a mask. "I'm from the border town of Del Rio, and my views are less conservative," she said. "I'm not a liberal. I stand somewhere in the middle. Caleb would tell me, you know masks aren't going to save you. But he understood I wanted to wear them. It gives me the comfort to know that maybe, just maybe, I'm either protecting someone or avoiding it myself." Each of us is more than the sum of our political beliefs. While many residents in San Angelo are familiar with her husband's political opinions, Jessica said it's an incomplete picture on who Caleb is as a person. The father of three would come home from work, she said, to help with dinner, play outside with his daughters, and take them out for ice cream. If Caleb was running late, Jessica said, it was often because he had volunteered to help someone from church, or because he was mowing an elderly person's lawn or assisting a military service member move their belongings. "That was just Caleb's nature," Jessica said. "At the end of the day, whether he was a hardcore conservative or not, he was an amazing man." Jessica recalled how Caleb collected donations for victims of Hurricane Harvey in 2017. His efforts grew quickly from that one trailer full of supplies into a second trailer that Caleb helped haul to the Texas-Louisiana coast. Caleb was also there to help San Angelo residents during Winter Storm Uri in February 2021, after record-setting freezing temperatures trapped many people in their homes without power. Putting politics aside, Caleb called San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter and offered his assistance driving on dangerous, icy roads to help her reach people who needed help. Gunter remembered their time together. "We spent 2.5 hours going door to door to touch base with people that we knew had been without electricity for some time," Gunter said. Even though we disagreed on certain subject matters, he had an overwhelming love for this city and its citizens, and that was bigger than anything else, Gunter said. He's still a human being, and he has a family, and that family needs him. Jessica said she's praying for her husband to get well again, but that Caleb's chances of survival will come down to one of two miracles. Either he makes a full recovery on his own, or he gets approved for advanced medical treatment. ECMO machine could be last hope. A medical device known as an ECMO machine is Jessica's last hope, but all her efforts so far to find an available device have proven unsuccessful. Short for extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, the EMCO machine works by inserting a plastic tube into a large vein and or artery through the neck, chest, or groin of the patient. Essentially, this device helps patients by acting as their heart and lungs, giving organs a chance to rest and heal. As of August 21st, the number of hospitals who have available ECMO machines are scarce, and thanks to COVID-19, the waiting list is long. Shannon Hospital does not have an ECMO machine. The nearest medical centers that do are places awash in COVID-19 hospitalizations, like San Antonio, Dallas, and Houston, according to the Extracorporeal Life Support Organization, the world's largest registry of ECMO and ECLS centers. We've been calling people left and right, trying to find that miracle, Jessica said. A hospital in Plano removed Caleb from their waiting list because he's been intubated too long. Without that machine, the doctors have said Caleb's chances are slim to none. As the Wallace family continues its search for an ECMO machine, Jessica said she plans to keep fighting for Caleb, even though she isn't sure what the future will hold. I have three kids and a fourth on the way. To keep them strong, I remind them how much their daddy loves them and how loved they are by so many, Jessica said. I'm definitely not strong, but I have to be for my girls. I have to be. How to help the Wallace family on GoFundMe. Jessica, who is a stay-at-home mother of three, started a GoFundMe campaign to help with family bills while Caleb is hospitalized. With being this far along in my pregnancy, I can't get a job, and after delivery, I'll need a few weeks to recover, said Jessica in a message on the campaign website. I have been in contact with his doctors, and they've estimated Caleb will be out at least 6 months, 1 to 2 intubated, and at least 6 months of hard rehab to get him back on his feet. Those who wish to donate money to help the Wallace family can do so through a GoFundMe campaign started by Jessica Wallace at this link. https://gofund.me/b90c802f.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.